guys actually maybe don't rise because we're sitting on top of a dugout. If you rise, you might fall off of the dugout. Welcome back to...
All rise.
Yeah, welcome back to Crunch Time. Gotta respect the bell. I am Alex. Final segment of Crunch Time for a Wednesday. That means it is time for the Crunch Exchange. I'm going to give Steve some stories from around the world of sports. He's going to tell me if he's buying or selling the prospectus from those stories. There is also an option for pending, which he uses sometimes. For some reason, Steve, college football has decided to add 3 bowl games to their offseason slate. Reports saying that games in Chicago and Myrtle Beach are being considered, because why not? The Chicago one, however, likely landing in Wrigley Field, which could be cool. But then you realize 2 teams playing in the game will likely be 5-7 and from the Sun Belt or something like that. Total number of postseason games will rise to 43, including the Natty, which means that roughly 65% of the country will be playing in a bowl game. Bowl games are fun things to do when laying around the house during the holidays, but some say it's enough already. The prospectus, adding 3 more bowls, including one at Wrigley, is a good thing for college football.
By the way, Myrtle Beach in late December or January. No, it's a resort. It's golf haven. I've been there.
So it's like the Bahamas Bowl or whatever.
Not really.
Get out there and watch a bowl.
Let me explain something to you. We golfed Myrtle Beach in March.
Right.
And in between shots, I was taking off my winter coat. So this is not the Bahamas
not
Bowl.
Ideal.
This ain't the Rose Bowl.
Not ideal.
Is it good for college football? It's ridiculous for college football. 5-7 teams. But you know what the problem is? We talked to some of the network people. They need their inventory. There are a lot of people say, why do they have bowl games? You see the punt, and there's 19 people there. ESPN, the powers that be, don't care. They just want games on. I'll tell you the truth. They could give me the stats all you want. I don't think it's that good. I don't think it's an incentive to be 5-7 and qualify for the postseason. So sell it.
The big news internationally today, you mentioned it earlier, with the World Cup in Russia beginning tomorrow, is that a joint venture... I'm going to let you finish. I'm like Kanye. A joint venture between the United States, Mexico, and Canada has been they've been granted the 2026 World Cup. I don't see anyone outside of our president, who for some reason seems to hate both of those countries, can't think this is an awesome idea. So many different cultures and amazing cities are going to be able to host it, and it shouldn't place a financial strain on any of them because they don't get overburdened, but the U.S. might end up missing out on the party on the field because, well, they're not very good. Christian Pulisic aside, they've said they're making a great effort to improve at the sport, but he will still only be 27 years old in 2026, so he'll be in his prime. The prospectus, you buy or sell the Yanks, will be part of the 2026 World Cup.
Oy vey. Well, we know they're
by the way,
now.
He's only going to be 27. That 2026 is a long time from now, and he's already one of the premier players in the world.
Well, the bottom line is, what did we learn? It's the first time since 1986 they haven't qualified. Now that they're hosting the upgrade, I mean, it's not like they missed by a lot. If they want a match here or there, they'd probably be in. So, you know, I'm a guy who likes to play the odds. I usually lose, but I do like to play the odds. So I'm going to buy it. They're going to host. Everybody's going to be excited. Team USA is in. Buy it.
Also, guys, the host country generally automatically qualifies. So Canada, US, and Mexico are all pretty much in. So, Steve, you would have been more wrong than you ever have been before if you had sold that.
They might need a little bit of help from FIFA, is all I'm saying.
I am the president of everybody.
Exactly. Reports today out of the NFL that the Ravens have been doing something a little odd in their mini camp with their offense. It's being said that they have used many different 2 quarterback sets with Joe Flacco and former Heisman winner Lamar Jackson. Obviously, Jackson, an incredible athlete, even if he's not the caliber of quarterback, which Joe Flacco is, which is obviously elite. So you want to try to get him involved in some way if you can, but this certainly sounds like a gimmick of the highest order. But then again, John Harbaugh has done some pretty brilliant stuff in his time as a Super Bowl winning head coach. So the prospectus, when the regular season comes around, the Ravens will actually use 2 quarterbacks sometimes.
No sale, not from a Harbaugh. Too much of a traditionalist. What's the old saying? If you got 2, you don't have 1. So I'm not by it. The Harbaugh family, they're all nuts. They like to play games and screw around. Nothing they says matters compared to what they actually do. Sell it!
reports out of Sea Chickens camp that Earl Thomas will not report to the team until he gets a new deal. Thomas, one of the few players left up from that elite defense that nearly won them back-to-back Super Bowls, but he has 1 year left on his deal, has said he will not play this year until he's locked up. Thomas, clearly one of the best safeties in the game when healthy, 29 years old, absolute leader on their defense, especially when you realize they no longer have Richard Sherman or Michael Bennett or anybody like that. So the prospectus, the Seahawks should try to extend Earl Thomas.
Well, you just mentioned something that's really important. First, we're talking about a football player. He's 29. These guys who threaten that they're not going to play NFL football when at any moment their career can end. And I know you think, well, that could happen in the NBA or MLB, but it really doesn't. It's a lot more likely to happen in NFL football. I guess I do want to see, when does he turn 30? Yeah, he's going to be 30 he already passed, so he'll play at 29.
Right.
29's football old. There is about as much chance of him holding out this season as there is for me replacing Sherman at corner for Seattle. There's literally no chance. Sell it.
He's going to pass up $8 million. Right, I'm going to say no on that one. So much talk. So much talk since the Warriors destroyed the Cavs in the finals about the whereabouts of LeBron James. Actually, people know where he is generally, but not where he'll end up after this offseason. Many have said he wants to stay in Cleveland, but so many rumblings recently say that he is destined for L.A. to play for the Lakers or the Clippers. He would instantly make them a contender in the West and obviously provide leadership for their young nucleus. I'm talking about the Lakers, of course. Add to that that his son just committed to play high school ball in the L.A. area. LeBron Jr. did. So the prospectus, LeBron ends up in L.A.
By the way, this conversation about LeBron wanting to hang around so he could play in the NBA with his kid.
Right.
Yeah, because at 13, you really get a read. Well, I guess maybe the only one you ever got a read on was LeBron, who was going to play in the NBA at like 8. So what's the prospectus again?
LeBron ends up in L.A. Yeah. Could be for the Lakers or the Clippers.
I think at the end of the day, as philanthropic as LeBron has been, when it comes to his career, he's selfish. He cares about his legacy.
He can go make movies, man.
He can make movies. Michael made movies from Chicago.
Yeah.
You don't need to be in L.A., especially with the way the NBA works. I don't think the Lakers are even just add LeBron away from contending in the West. I would bet anything he stays in the East. I think it's actually 50-50 he stays in Cleveland. Him going to the Lakers, that's a kind of a no-sale, no-brainer for me.
Shohei Ohtani's sprained UCL has been a big question mark for baseball in the last few days. Will he have surgery? Will it end both his 2018 and 2019 seasons? All kind of up in the air as of right now. But there's a notion right now that they could move forward with surgery to make sure his elbow is sound for pitching, or they could let it heal on its own and he could still be used as a DH for the rest of the year. He is, of course, very good at both. And the thought is that long term, the Angels would like to rely on him more as a pitcher. But the prospectus, Shohei Ohtani should play the rest of the season at DH instead of having surgery.
I think if his value is as a pitcher, and you can see he's a big, strong guy, throws hard, more than a K in inning, good ERA, and this is his first time facing major league hitters, I just think the value of a front-end rotation guy is more so. If they need to shut him down to get him back in the rotation, even 2020, when he'll be, what, 25,
right,
maybe late 24. Nah, to me, a DH is kind of a dime a dozen. So don't do that. Sell that.
Last one here. Brandon Crawford having an amazing season for Los Gigantes, and no one is noticing. Obviously, that's because they're not very good at baseball right now, the Giants, but he sure as heck is. Dane Perry of CBS Sports wrote today that Crawford is making a legit case for NL MVP right now, hitting .338, slugging .536, 8 home runs, 32 RBI. Since May 13th, he's hitting .459 with a .521 on base percentage and is playing the best shortstop in the NL as well. So, of course, there are some other pretty good players in the National League. Bryce Harper is one of them. But the prospectus, Brandon Crawford, NL MVP right now.
At 33 and 34, he's one of the best players. I don't know if they're going to linger around 500 and not make a move at Arizona or LA or anybody in the West. So, you know what? I'm going to use the pending option there.
Ted, my boy, it's going to be legend. Wait for it.